Okay, I'm back.
Good.
I just wanted to start with a couple of things regarding the study, the research.
Okay.
We have approval, IRB approval for this. I don't remember the institution it went through. I can get that to you, send that to you later if you would like. But we do have 10 members that are conducting this research, and one of the member institutions we submitted the IRB.
Okay.
Keep in mind you are, there should be no questions that should create any anxiety in you. If you feel that you don't want to answer a question, you're free to do so. You have the right to cancel the, stop the interview at any time. And once we are done, whether you continue through the whole hour or not, we will put your name in for a $25 gift certificate at the end.
Thank you.
So did you have any questions on that aspect first?
Oh, no.
Okay. Well, we're with a group that is trying to look at the use of fun activities in Intro to Statistics class. You have filled out a survey at USCOTS, and you had agreed to be interviewed further. So I just need some like background information first. Now, I have a list of questions that I'm going to ask, and we can go from there.
Okay.
So the first thing is, how many statistics classes intro to statistics classes do you teach in a typical semester?
Usually just one.
Okay.
Oh, but next, well, I'm going to start teaching two online sections in the spring.
Okay. So currently, though, you're doing it in the classroom?
Yes.
Okay. About how many students are in that classroom?
Up to 45.
Wow. Okay. You say up to 45. Is that typically going to start at the 45, and then you have some?
Oh, no. Generally ranges between 40 and 45. 45
okay.
is the maximum.
Okay. Can you give me some sense of the average age or the age distribution of your students?
They're generally sophomores.
Okay. So typical college age?
Yeah. No, generally
20.
Don't have any adult learners.
Okay. What about their ability levels?
Well, I don't know how to even describe that. I can't remember our average incoming SAT score on the math section. Some of them have taken the AP course in high school and not passed the AP exam. Others
okay.
have just never taken a statistics course ever. But they're not... they don't have really strong quantitative skills.
So their math background,
mm-hmm.
the algebra, the arithmetic is not very strong, typically all throughout the 45 students or so?
Generally, we have I'm teaching the School of Management, and so
okay.
The students that are finance majors generally have a little more facility with math,
right.
but most of the other students don't have so much.
Okay. So what was one of the questions I was going to ask is, what are the majors of the students that are in the class? So I
okay.
imagine they're all business majors.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And majority of them, any particular kind of major?
Oh, no. It ranges from marketing to management to undeclared.
Okay. What about your gender distribution? What's that typically like?
The university as a whole, there are... probably 55, the last time I checked it was 55% female and 45% male, so that tends to be the distribution in the classroom as well.
Okay. And what about the race or ethnic distribution?
A lot of white students. We also have, well, in my current class, we have about... 6 or 7 international students from China, Korea, even Nepal. And then there's generally not very many black students. I think in my current section I just have one. So I generally have one or two African-American students, and then the remainder are just East Coast white kids.
Okay. And the last background question is about their the general sense of the interest level of your students. Can you give me something, some kind of sense of that?
Well, I try to keep... I think when they first come in, they're not interested, and it is a required course. It's not something anyone's taking it for the love. But I think that the material does eventually engage them. But I wouldn't say that they come in getting really super excited about it.
So when you say the material engages them, is it the material, the actual statistics, or what you do with the statistics?
I try to do a lot of projects, and so so that they have experience collecting data and analyzing it, and I let them choose their own topics. So I think that they're interested in that part of it.
Okay. All right. Now let's get into some of the fun activities, a description of that.
Okay.
Our group has the activities separated out into what we call modalities.
Okay.
These are just a category of different activities. If you're not sure when I mention something like what our category is, just ask and I can go deeper into that.
Okay.
But what we want to see is first if you try some of these in your classroom, and then we'll discuss the ones that you do in the classroom and the ones that you don't, and we'll try to get a sense of we'll go in further for those two types. So first, let's see what you do in class in terms of the fun activities. And the first category is poems or songs.
No.
You do any of those? Okay.
Mm-mm. No.
What about cartoons?
Yes.
Okay.
I Googled statistics cartoons, and there's just a ton of, you know, that fit in different topics, so, yeah.
Okay. What about games?
Yes.
And usually I get the question is, what do I mean by game? So let me see what kind of games you do.
I have a Jeopardy.
Okay.
There's one.
And, okay, and that is used to...
Excuse me.
To do what? Okay, that's fine.
Usually reviews for exams, because those can get really boring because nobody ever prepared. So I've started using the Jeopardy game to do basic vocabulary and not so much with problem solving or anything like that.
Okay. What about jokes or humor?
Yeah. Yeah, I use jokes and humor.
Do you use, like, stuff that you, like you said, you looked and found cartoons on the web? Do you have you searched for those things, or do you use jokes and humor a little bit more, like, off the cuff?
Off the cuff, and also sometimes The Daily Show has some data analysis that they do, which basically comes into criticizing other people's data analysis. So most of the students like that show, or at least the humor. And so I'll show little blips from the show from time to time.
Okay. And are there any other things that you might use that you think are fun?
There's a couple of things. Well, one, when I teach the T-test, I have a Guinness T-shirt, so... Bring it in with. I don't wear it because I don't want to walk around the halls in it. But I do bring it to class and, you know, give them, you know, the visual and whatever. And then we do. There's a video from the show, that '70s show. I'm not sure if you're familiar with it.
Yeah.
One of the characters, his father is a statistician, and it's career day, and he's going to interview his dad, and just has no clue what his dad does. He just doesn't understand, and it's funny, and I don't know, the students seem to like the, I use the Brossman and Chance, Reese's Pieces, that's it, Reese's Pieces activity, and they seem to enjoy getting candy.
Okay.
And I think I can't think of anything else. Oh, you know, when I teach skewed distributions and normal distributions, I have parts of the room get up and actually arrange themselves into skewed distributions or, you know, normal, what it would look like, just to kind of, you know, get them to stand up and wake up.
Okay.
But I can't think of anything else offhand.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go through those four, and then I'm going to just ask you some basic questions on each of those.
Okay.
So for the cartoons, how often do you typically use that in a semester?
I'll use it several times. I generally, when I make a PowerPoint presentation, which we do a lot in the business school, I'll include cartoons. And generally, while the day of the test, when they walk in, there's a cartoon on that they can look at and whatever. So maybe, I'm sorry, go ahead.
So almost daily then?
Well, probably at least once a week.
Okay. And do you, so it seems like what you're saying to me that you do it as a setup. You do that as an initial thing on the PowerPoint so the students read that and then you get into the class? Or is it something that you use sometimes other times during the class, maybe at the end or the middle or something like that?
At different times. I mean, when I teach pie charts, there's a cartoon of somebody saying, this is a pie chart of how much pie I ate while making this chart. So, you know, I just throw that into my lecture on, you know, graphing. And just as a, so they'll pay attention. Because if they know jokes are coming, then it seems to me if they'll pay more attention to you. If, you know,
right.
What is she going to say today?
Right. Now, how effective are they, do you think? So you think that they are paying more attention. So
I wouldn't say they have any kind of use other than just a light moment sort of, you know, they can only concentrate for, what is it, 18 minutes at a time?
Right.
I think somebody was telling me that the other day. And so just, you know, just peppered in there just to kind of give them, you know, just a moment to laugh or roll their eyes or whatever before we move on to something else.
Okay. Okay. So it is effective just to break up the monotony of a, I'm not saying you're boring,
hey,
a class, but just to break up the kind of just normal kind of classroom routine.
Exactly.
Okay. I hope I didn't offend you saying that.
No, it's okay. I'm fascinating. I don't know what you're talking about.
So the games then, you suggested about the Jeopardy, using that for review. Is that primarily where you would use that?
Yes, only for reviews. Just my experience with the reviews is I give them practice tests and nobody ever does them. So this is a way to, they come in and just sort of blindly write down what I say. So this is a way to get them a little bit more involved.
Okay.
You know, that's my hope. I've only, but this is the first semester that I did that. So I can't really, and it was the first test, which of course is the easiest one. So I don't really have any, you know, qualitative feedback about it.
Right. So you're not sure if it's really been effective after that, because you've only given one test. So you're not sure of the effectiveness of that at the moment.
Right.
Okay. Then the jokes and the humor, how often do you use, so you suggested the Daily Show clips, how often would you use, say, a joke or humor and or the Daily Show clips?
I use humor every day, just because I'm kind of a nerd that way. And then I use the Daily Show just periodically. I mean, I think I have three clips that I rotate around in the class. It's over a whole semester from the Daily Show.
So these are clips from a previous semester, year?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So I haven't actually sat down and watched The Daily Show in a while, so I'm not, you know, aware of what's new. That, I mean, I probably need to freshen that up, though.
As I was wondering, how effective is it? I mean, I'm not sure what the topics are, but are the topics still reasonable that the students would understand what the topic is so they can understand the joke behind the clip?
Well, for example, when I teach probability, and we don't actually teach probability in our course here because the students take it in a prior math class.
Okay.
But, of course, you have to touch on a couple basic laws of probability, even just for the normal, to move on to the normal curve. But we don't spend time with Venn diagrams or anything like that. But there's a clip from The Daily Show where they're showing the Fox, a Rasmussen poll that adds up to 120%. And so and the poll is about whether scientists falsified data for the global warming. You remember that happened a couple years ago. And so it's sort of, they make up the point of the irony that they're making an error in their data on a story that's criticizing possible errors in data. So, they make this humorous point. So, I just to have it there, I guess it's more about, breaking up the class or just giving them an example. Because it seemed to me when I learned it that it was really obvious that the probability should add to 100. And I just wanted to show them that not everybody quite gets that.
Right.
And just.
It seems to me that would still be appropriate, even, a year or so down the road. I think that's still an appropriate clip.
Mm-hmm.
So the content is not necessarily that important.
Mm-hmm.
The content behind the scientists and making up data.
Mm-hmm.
I think the more emphasis is the probabilities not adding up to 100. So I don't. I think that is okay.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm wanting to know is how about the others? Are they kind of the same way, where it doesn't really matter the background of the
story? The
context. Story.
Yeah. Well, the one from That 70s Show is just is something I usually introduce the class with, that you don't want to be that guy, because are you familiar with the show? It's the character Kelso, who's, he's not the sharpest knife in the drawer. And just, hey, you don't want to be this guy. That's why you're here kind of, lesson or whatever. And then the other Daily Show clip that I use a lot is one that has to do with, I think it's last year when it snowed so much in D.C., they were calling it Snowmageddon and all that stuff. So in that, they do the fake news and make a data analysis error of assuming that because if you're somewhere cold, then global warming doesn't exist. And then another character is in Australia in the summer, and she says global warming is happening because she's hot. And they each of the reporters draw on data that has it's not enough data. Just looking at, they talk about cooling trends and warming trends just the couple of days around them. So by using that, it gives me an opportunity to talk with them about making predictions beyond, with unreasonable data.
Right.
And that just because it was 90 yesterday and it's 94 today, it's not going to be 120 on the weekend, is one of the jokes in there. So it gives me a chance to talk about how to interpret numbers. And I use it in my regression course, too, because one of the things we always talk about in that class is being very conservative about predicting outside the range.
Right. Right. Okay. Now, with these different types that you use, the games, the cartoons, and the jokes and humors, do you think? I know there's that other stuff that you suggested, but I want to stay with those three for now. And that is, do you think any one of them works better than the others? Any kind of not necessarily one case, but the general modality, the general category. Do you think one works better than the others?
I think students respond to just being upbeat, in the classroom and kind of having a sense of humor about what you're doing. And, you know, without like blowing your credibility. Obviously, you know, there's a line you don't want to draw, but or you don't want to cross. But I think it sort of I think it allows me to build a relationship. This is my theory. It allows me to build a relationship with the students that makes me appear approachable. You know, because I think the math phobia of most American students, they're afraid to talk to their professors. And I know I was at US COTS, I didn't think it was this year, but the 2 years ago, where somebody asked, do you remember that professor, that math teacher that turned you off on math? And like everybody in the room nodded their head, and I certainly remember mine. And so I think everybody has one of those. And I, you know, what I want is for them to be feel comfortable coming to see me no matter what the issue is. You know, if they have maybe have some problem, they're always apologetic about not learning, and I'm like, no, you know, that's fine, that's why you're here. And so I think it sort of makes me more approachable, I think.
Okay.
And now, they seem to pay attention.
Okay. Now, as you're thinking about next semester and using teaching, you said two courses online, would you still be using the various different Daily Show clips, the TV clips, the cartoons? I'm not even sure. I imagine the Jeopardy review. Would you be trying to do those on?
Probably not the Jeopardy review, and I'd like to say that I'm still in course development. I'm not that far ahead, but I am going to have some videos, like problem solving videos, and just little short ones. And I don't know that I'm going to have some video lectures as well. So maybe in a video lecture that might come out. That's more like because of my personality. I'm just sort of jokey. And rather than, you know, and I might include, I guess, some of the cartoons. But definitely not the game, because there really isn't a way to do that easily at a distance.
So the game is more interactive. You have to be involved as an instructor to make that work.
That's right.
Okay.
But we have a residency requirement. So the first 4 days, I have them for 4 days, 2 hours a day. So that'll be, you know, a chance to do icebreakers and just keep people active and learning and doing some labs and things like that.
Okay. How much time, class time, let me go through each of those. For the cartoons first, about how much time do you suggest that maybe once a week? How much class time does that once a week presentation of that cartoon take?
Not long. I mean, it's just maybe a minute. It's generally embedded in a PowerPoint.
Okay. What about the TV clips?
That they range from 3 minutes to 7 minutes. So
you have the discussion afterwards or is that including the discussion?
No, not including the discussion. So maybe 10 to 15 minutes.
Okay. And the Jeopardy review.
That takes about, it depends on how many questions you have, but it takes about a half an hour, I'd say. But we have 45-minute, we have our 20-minute classes, so a half an hour devoted to that still leaves plenty of time for a review.
Right.
I mean, a more robust review.
Right.
One that's not fun.
Right. Let's see. I'm just going through my, because you're addressing a lot of the questions that I have later in my interview protocol, so I'm just getting through here. For the next question is, now you don't have that much of your class. It seems like it's very homogeneous. It's a majority white students. It's a majority of sophomores in college. So it's not very homogeneous. So I'm not sure if you can answer this, but I'll ask it anyway. Do you think that, and you can answer any of those three, do you think one of those three categories works better with a different type of student, a particular kind of student, than you know, does it work all equally with all your students?
I make an effort to draw out, you know, what are typically minority students, because just from my understanding and what I've read, and friends of mine that are African American or Hispanic faculty, is that they sometimes feel a little isolated. So, you know, so I make a point of including them in that and memorizing their names and that kind of stuff. As far as the international students, I'm sometimes not really sure if they get what I'm doing. I'm trying to avoid using slang, so that they understand. But so I'm not sure about all of their language skills or that advanced.
And that's what I was wondering. That's what I've heard from a couple others.
Mm-hmm.
So I imagine that those foreign students have taken an ESL class or something like that, or passed that. But it's the little details in a joke that, you know, do you get a sense that they understand that? Or
Some of them do. I mean, some of them have very good English skills.
Okay.
And some of them don't. I mean, you can tell from they generally, when they come and speak to me after class, they have difficulty forming sentences in English and things like that. And but they're still here, so... some of the girls from China and Korea and Japan will have Hello Kitty pencils, and so I'll say, oh, I really like your Hello Kitty pencil, and then that just, you know, then they're like, oh, she said hi to me or something, you know what I mean?
Right.
I think attention is important, but I'm not sure that they get the jokes.
Okay. Now let's talk about the ones that you don't use, which is essentially the poems and songs.
Yeah.
Can you give me a sense of why you don't use them currently in class?
I just don't want to sing in front of people, so songs are out. And although, you know, there are some videos of people writing parodies of songs, you know. Like,
right.
Oops, I used the wrong test is one of them. And so I'll sometimes show those. But I guess because I'm just not a poetry person. I don't know. It just doesn't. It's just not my thing.
Okay, so it's not a part of your It's not part of your identity as an instructor, I guess, or something like that. It's not part of your...
Not really, but I mean, now I'm thinking about it. I have used, if the p-value is high, the null must lie. P-value is low, the null must go. P-value is high, the null will fly. P-value low, the null must go. But something, actually my students memorize that. Probably I should use more poetry since it seems effective. I hadn't really thought of that. But I just, you know, I don't know. I guess I need to take a look at the U.S. COTS or the CAUSE resources for that.
Right.
More carefully.
Right. So you are familiar with that website with all the fun activities on that. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What would facilitate the use of either a poem or a song for you? What would you need in order to use something like that?
Well, I'd need someone else to sing.
Okay.
And I actually, when I took statistics, I mean, I learned a song. Our professor taught us. I don't even remember what it is now, but it was had something to do with hypothesis testing. I have been exposed to it, and it wasn't bad or anything. I just never used it myself. But anyway, I think I would just need to be more familiar with what's available to use.
Okay.
You know, more rhymes. I use mnemonic devices, but I just don't use rhymes. For them.
Right. Okay.
That's something else I've done. When I was teaching categorical variables, you know, noir for the different types of variables, so I showed them a clip from The Maltese Falcon, and we talked about noir movies, and then we started talking about, just so they would have that in their head if they aren't familiar with them.
Okay.
So, plus, I love The Maltese Falcon.
I don't think I've ever seen that. My wife loves it.
Oh, my God. You have to see it. classic?
Let's see. I just got a few more questions.
Okay.
So you, the, going back to the ones that you have used now, so you're using them more in a lecture or classroom setting, not in the lab or anything like that. It's more of a classroom setting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you do anything, assigning any kind of activity outside, fun activity outside of the classroom?
I haven't.
Okay. Trying to think. I think that is the majority of it. I just have two more questions for you.
Okay.
Can you provide any additional information concerning the motivations you have in using the fun activities in class?
I don't know
what
if I
motivates you to do that.
Why is it? I just because I think about professors I've had, in you know, they were knowledgeable about their material, but also had a light interaction, you know, lighthearted, maybe not lighthearted, but you know what I mean. I mean, it was just, it wasn't sort of somebody up there droning. And I noticed how that seemed to engage people. And then also I'm always on the lookout for ways to keep people awake.
Okay.
That's literally, that's a motivation for me because, you know, especially at 9:30.
So your class is in the morning, and they usually come in a little groggy.
Yes. Yep.
That's why I hate teaching in the morning.
I know. No one should teach math or have to learn it before noon.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. There was one other question I had.
Okay.
I'm looking for it. Let me ask you this. Time-wise, has this class consistently been in the morning, 9 a.m., that you've been teaching it?
I've occasionally had a 12:30 section.
Okay.
And I think one semester I taught one at 9:30 and one at 12:30, and then some semesters just at 12:30. But I approach the class the same way.
Do you get a different... Do you get a sense there's a different reaction from the students in the 9:30 versus the 12:30?
No, I haven't noticed anything.
Okay. All right. I think I can't find that other question. I think that's fine. Oh, I see. Okay. So the last thing that I had, the last question is... I have a sense, and that just correct me if I'm wrong, that all the fun activities are coming from you, instructor-directed, and then the students react to that.
Yeah,
from
I guess
what
so.
You do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm guessing we had that in there because some people allow students to bring in things that can also be a fun activity.
Oh,
I think I had one of my other interviewees
mm-hmm.
said that.
Okay.
For the most part, it's just mostly it's coming from the instructor, as opposed to say students.
Okay.
So, all right, I think that is all.
Okay.
Only took about 36 minutes. That's not so bad.
Yeah.
I will make sure that. I put your name in for the $25 drawing, and I greatly appreciate your time and your willingness to be open about answering all these questions.
Oh, sure. Thanks for contacting me.
We're excited. Yeah, we have about 20-some, I think, interviews.
Wow. Okay.
So that was nice. Yeah, so hopefully we have a large amount of data that we can write a paper on all that.
Yeah.
But, all right.
Okay.
Well, thank you very much.
You
wish
bet.
You luck in the rest of the semester, and
thanks,
we'll talk
you
to you later.
Okay. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you. Please stand by.